Well, here in Spain, we're joined by Chris McCann. How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Howard. It's nice to be back.
Yes. Well, moving on then. Immigration and visas continue to be a hot topic in Spain. Although I know that visas are not something Brevin Svank specifically deals with, I also know it's an issue that has financial connotations, which I'd like to explore this morning. So, Chris, for UK nationals spending time in Spain, the situation changed following Brexit. Can you provide a brief summary as regards the current situation?
I will, Howard. Well, the Schengen area currently enables around 420 million people across 27 member states to cross internal borders without having to produce passports or identity documents. Around 3.5 million people cross those internal borders every day, 50% who reside in one Schengen country and work in another. I think there's around a total of 1.25 billion journeys every year, which are a boon normally to Europe's tourism and cultural sector. But these internal freedoms are only available because of a common EU policy that facilitates the entry of visitors into the EU while maintaining security. Currently, the EU has a visa-free regime in place for 61 non-EU countries, enabling those people from those countries with biometric passports to enter the Schengen area for short stays. And when they say short stays, they mean no more than 90 days in any rolling 180-day period. Post-Brexit, the UK, as a third country, is now one of these 61 countries. And UK nationals without a visa are also now subject to short stays of no more than 90 days in any rolling 180-day period. It's interesting to note that the Schengen rules are separate from each state's sovereign right to introduce different types of visas and residency permits, which is why you now see a significant variety in Spain in relation to different kinds of visas and permits on offer. Each visa, such as the non-lucrative visa, the golden visa, the digital nomad visa, offer different routes to spending more time in Spain without the constraint of the 90 in 180-day Schengen rule.
Both France and Spain have recently been vocal in relation to the economic costs of Brexit on their countries. In particular, they've been critical about the immigration rules that restricts the owners of properties in France and Spain visiting and staying as often they may have done. Will you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, this is something that I've been asked a lot about. I think mainly because a lot of people wish they could go back to the good old days, the pre-Brexit days. As regards events in France, in November last year, Martine Berthet, an MP who represents the Savoie area in the French Alps, put forward an amendment to a new French immigration bill suggesting special arrangements should be enacted to help UK nationals who own second homes in France. The idea was for France to automatically grant long-stay visas to the British who own French property, allowing them to spend as much time as they wish in France. Now, whilst both the Senate and the National Assembly of France voted in favour of the change, it was recently rejected by the Constitutional Council, which is the French Supreme Court. So I think, to be honest, I was talking to one of our French partners the day before, and he mentioned that he can't see that coming back for a while. I think it may be dead in the water. Spain, on the other hand, has not progressed this issue as far as France. But there have been discussions between Madrid and London over how things can be made easier for British tourists in Spain. Reports have also been circulating of Spain lobbying the EU, but actually there's no evidence that this has occurred. Even if either country managed to convert the 90 in 180 day rule to the 180 to a 180 in 360 day rule, which is essentially what they're after, such a change would require a vote by the 27 Schengen member states, which could potentially take years. This being the case, I don't think that we're going to go back to the good old pre-Brexit days anytime soon.
Based on your experience, how have UK nationals been dealing with these immigration rule changes?
Well, I think it's fair to say that people have been dealing with them in different ways. As regards the legitimate routes, and I'll come on to the not-so-legitimate routes in a minute, but as regards the legitimate routes, there are those that have had no issue with spending less than 90 days in Spain in a 180-day period. And for them, their lifestyles haven't really been impacted by these changes at all. For those who don't wish to spend more than 183 days in Spain and therefore don't become Spanish tax resident, but have had an issue with restricting their stays to less than 90 days in a 180-day period, they have been able to apply for a golden visa. Some have been able to apply for a golden visa, which has legitimately allowed them to spend as much time in Spain as they wanted to. They can then choose to spend less than 183 days in Spain and stay non-resident for tax, or they can go over 183 days and become resident for tax. For those that wish to spend more than 183 days in Spain, they've simply become resident in Spain. As I say, they could do that by getting a golden visa. They can also do that by applying for a non-lucrative visa or a digital nomad visa. Now, turning to the not so legitimate routes, I have become increasingly concerned by what could best be described as a very laissez-faire attitude by a growing number of UK nationals who are not Spanish residents and are simply ignoring the post-Brexit rules. Until 31st December 2020, UK nationals could come and go without really being checked. Border guards took a cursory glance at your passport, but nothing more. Post-Brexit, once you're in the Schengen area, it's very rare for your passport to be checked. It's normally checked only when you arrive and leave the Schengen area. And frankly, if your passport has been stamped numerous times, border guards don't normally have the time to painstakingly go through all the dates in your passport. So this being the case, for many UK nationals, I don't think the penny's dropped, and they have continued to be very blasé about the immigration rules that they are supposed to be abiding by. I have also become concerned about another group of UK nationals that took the opportunity to apply for a TIE card or swap their existing green residency card or paper for a TIE card prior to the UK fully leaving the EU, but had no intention of ever spending more than 183 days in a calendar year in Spain. They applied for the TIE card simply because they were advised to or believed that holding it would circumvent the 90 in 180 day rule without any other consequences. People who did this need to understand that having a Spanish TIE card signals to the Spanish authorities that you are intending spending more than 183 days in Spain. In other words, you intend becoming a tax resident of Spain.
You mentioned that some people have applied for and received the Spanish TIE cards as a way of circumventing the 90 in 180 day rule. Is there anything these people should be aware of now? What are the consequences?
Yeah, look, so far, few questions. As far as I'm aware, so far, few questions have been raised. But I can't believe that this group of people are not on the Spanish authorities' radar. I think a very real risk is that for many, their TIE cards fall due for renewal from mid-2025, so the middle of next year. As the people I'm referring to here have the TIE solely to avoid being subject to the 90 and 180-day rule, most will likely have consistently spent less than 6 months in Spain over the last 5 years and will not have completed tax returns in Spain. I think it's going to be interesting to see if, when they come to renew their cards, they have those cards taken away at that point. Any listeners who find themselves in this position has got to be aware that applying for or renewing a residency permit when from the outset you have no intention of becoming legally resident and merely wanting to benefit from the flexibility of travel it allows while retaining a permanent resident status in the UK, for example, is fundamentally wrong and potentially fraudulent. If the authorities discover this, it may well involve a large fine, the removal of the permit, a country ban for several years. It's very likely to impact any future visa and residency permit applications, even after the ban's been lifted, as immigration officials look very unfavourably upon this type of impropriety. Any UK national falling foul of a state's immigration authorities may find that they've lost the thing they value the most, the ability to spend time in their villa for several years to come. If any of this concerns any of our listeners, you really need to take steps to rectify your situation before it's too late. I'm currently dealing with several clients in this position, and in all cases, we've agreed that it's time for them to become tax resident in Spain. More importantly, before making this decision, we sat down together and we discussed and agreed how their affairs should be restructured in advance of them becoming resident in Spain.
Understood. Well, I believe that the EU is close to introducing a system to better monitor the movement of people in and out of the EU. How is this going to work, and how might this impact on those people who have so far ignored the past Brexit immigration rules?
Yeah, the European Union's long-awaited entry and exit system, otherwise known as the EES, is now due to start on the 6th of October this year. It will apply in all EU member states except Ireland and Cyprus. Why that? I don't know. It will apply if the traveller is a non-EU national travelling to an EES participating country with a short stay visa, or who does not need a visa for stays of up to 90 days within a 180-day period. The EES will replace passport stamping and will automate the border control procedure. It's intended to make it easier to identify travellers who've no right to enter or who have overstayed in the participating countries, as well as to detect false identities and passports. It will collect personal data provided by each traveller each time they pass the border of an EES participating country. And it will store this information in the system together with the date and time of their entry or exit. In addition, the European Travel Information and Authorisation System, or what's called ETIAS, will also be introduced. Non-EU nationals, including UK nationals, who previously did not need a visa to travel to the Schengen zone, will now have to apply for a travel authorization through the ETIAS system prior to the journey. As regards how this is going to impact those people who have so far ignored the post-Brexit immigration rules, it's very simple. They will no longer be able to ignore them.
With these recent changes, it seems that people need to be extremely careful when it comes to assessing their visa and resident options. What do you recommend that people do to ensure that they're properly prepared?
I think it's simple, Howard, and I've mentioned this many times in our previous broadcasts. People need to speak to us. We've now been dealing with these issues for many, many years, and we have experience helping clients to navigate through these types of issues and many other issues. What I regularly find is that many people spend a lot of time either burying their heads in the sand or choosing to take advice from people that tell them what they want to hear. And both invariably result in them being or finding themselves in a very vulnerable position. In many cases, with proper planning, becoming resident in the country that you would like to spend more time in can be the best option. I think the main reason for people not having considered residence is tax. But all I can say is that for most of my existing clients, they are living in Spain and they are legally and legitimately paying relatively little tax, and in a lot of cases, less tax than they would pay in the UK. So just as a general piece of advice, and this applies to immigration rules, it applies to everything. As we're at the beginning of the year, I think it's always a good time to take a fresh look at your affairs and with the help of a knowledgeable advisor, satisfy yourself that you're in the best possible position.
And the Blevins Franks website is the first port of call.
Yeah, I think so. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, where they will be able to access the contact details of all our local partners. They will also, if they choose to, they'll be able to complete a contact form. If they do, somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch with them as soon as possible to suggest the most appropriate next steps.
Well, many thanks, Chris. I think we'll talk again in 3 weeks.
Yes, Howard. I look forward to it. Thanks very much.